Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
All right, we can be seated here today. We have been talking about the meals of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And again, if you weren't here with us last week, please, please, please go online because it's important. This really won't make sense unless you understand this understanding of if we look at who Jesus broke bread with whom he ate, and the conversations and the events around them, we're really going to be compelled to change how we walk in terms of evangelism, in terms of discipleship. It's really important. Now, my family is from the East Coast. All of our family is from the Albany, Schenectady area. And our family in particular, my father moved out here to Jacksonville, Illinois. During holidays, pretty much the only time we saw the rest of the family. And when I was about 7, we had this Thanksgiving dinner. And we're from the East Coast, and so we eat dinner very late. So Thanksgiving was 8:30, 9 o'clock at night to sit down at the dinner table. That's just normally how it was. And our dinners would normally, mom would work on the turkey all day. The guys would watch TV, and I don't know what we did. We got in trouble somewhere. We're outside playing in the leaves or whatnot. I remember snow, but back then I guess it snowed more around the Thanksgiving times. But this one particular time, mom had worked on the turkey, and the turkey was on top of the stovetop cooling. We were in the dining room eating shrimp cocktail, which is another thing that we do. We really enjoy having that good seafood from out east. And so in the middle of the appetizer course, family's in, all of a sudden in the kitchen, we hear this big crash. And mom jumps up from the table and says, "Everybody sit down!" Because I was wanting to run into the kitchen. She's like, "Nope, you just be seated." She ran into the kitchen, and all of a sudden I heard this big screech, "Ah!" And there was a word that I can't share here on Sunday. And it was like that. Let me just say it now. I love that sound in church because that's the sound of church tomorrow. So you just go right ahead, young lady. You go right ahead. And it continued. I know, kiddo. Mom was very close to that, especially when the guys got up and dad walked in. And all of a sudden, I heard the guys were laughing. And so mom was yelling, the guys are laughing. Now I really want to go. And I started, "You sit down." I finally got around the corner. And look who's coming to dinner, if you kind of click that. This is kind of what they began to see is... Our Siamese cat had crawled up onto the stove and decided to help itself to the turkey and drug a 25-pound bird, mind you, off of the stove and was dragging it across the floor. There was a big greasy path. Where it was taking it, I don't know. The cat somehow think that I'm going to hide it. No one's going to notice. I mean, the bird's twice the size as the cat. It was quite a feat of strength to see this cat do this. So I assumed that we were going to have feline instead of fowl for Thanksgiving dinner. But something amazing happened that Thanksgiving. It was the dawning of the 5-second rule. It was. We had, now, what was interesting, especially, is I didn't get to see which part of the bird was being drugged by the cat, but I know that was the only year that I got the drumstick, so I don't know. I don't know what was causing that. So imagine, you know, if you will, you know, you're coming to eat, you're having people over, you're hosting this big meal, and you run out of food. What do you do? I began to think about this week as I thought about our text for today in Luke chapter 9. I began to think about what was going through Mom's mind as you spend all this time and your dinner's gone. You got this group of people there that are hungry, and all of a sudden you don't have anything to give them. And that's a time of panic. So you can either give them half-masticated cat food, or or you can send out and do something else. Let's turn, because if we look at that kind of in our mindset, let's look at this Gospel of Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 13. Some cool stuff that we're going to find here. On their return, the apostles told him all that they had done. That's an important sentence we're going to come back to in a second. And he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. Now, Jesus, the disciples had come back from an event that we're going to talk about in a minute. And he decides he's going to have a leadership retreat in sort. And verse 11, when the crowds learned it, they followed him. And he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. Verse 12, now the day began to wear on. Hang up. When the Bible says, and the day began to wear on, what it means is, the day began to wear on. Now, some of you think that I'm a long-winded preacher. Let's just say here for a second, Jesus begins this sermon, and he's going, and the day began to wear on. So much so that, you know, in our concept, you know, those of you football fans might be thinking, well, the first game, we're going to miss kickoff. But we're going to miss the entire first game. We're going to miss the second. Well, the Chinese restaurant's going to close. Well, where are we? County market's going to, what are we going to do? That's kind of the concept. Jesus was on this roll and he's preaching all day long. So y'all need to give me a little bit of a break, right? Now, I understand we have a hard deadline here today because we have a funeral coming up, but as we go forward, there's this concept that Jesus is preaching, and there's this big crowd, and he's had compassion, he's healing them. It says, and the day began to wear on, and so the 12 disciples, they're going to intervene. It says, and the 12 came and said to him, and I could kind of see them doing this, you know, they're like coming up, you know, Jesus, boy, this is great. You're doing such a fantastic, look at the turnout. What a great turnout you're doing. How about wrapping it up? I mean, we're good. You know, 12 of us, we could stay here all day long. But think of the crowd. You know, we're with you, man. Yeah, amen. But maybe you should think of the other people because they're getting kind of worn out and tired. Maybe that was some of their thought. I don't know. And so here's what they said in good disciples of Jesus learning to serve people custom. He says, send the crowd away. to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are in a desolate place. All right. Brothers and sisters, does God ever lead us into impossible circumstances? Well, the truth is that yes, He does lead us into impossible circumstances. In fact, but my first point for the message today is an important one, because I want you to kind of look back through your life. And I want you to kind of understand a few things. And this is my first point. God is preparing us even when we don't realize it. Okay? God is preparing us even when we don't realize it. Have you, in this room, which I'm sure the answer is yes, ever come through a really hard time in your life? Have you ever had one of those times you're like, boy, this is a hard season. I just want this to be over. How am I going to get through this? I don't know how we're going to get through this. And yet you got through it. Anybody? Okay? There's a reason in which you get through the things that you get through, and it's not about you. And that's hard because it's so countercultural to this selfie society in which we live, that everything is about me and everything in the entire universe is about me. Maybe, your life isn't all about you. I believe that that's what we're going to find when we really examine this miracle. This meal that Jesus has, it's important. Because the first verse, the key to understanding this verse, this miracle, is in verse 10. And we read right past it. All the time we read right over it. Verse 10 says, on their return. On their return. The apostles told them all that they had done. Well, their return from what? If you roll back just a few verses, the beginning of Luke chapter 9, we read this. And he called the 12 together and he gave them power and authority. Everybody say power and authority. We got two words here, dunamis and exousia. Okay, we got power and authority. Now, power is ability, this divine ability, but authority is the license or the right to use that power. And there's two things that he gave us, power and authority, and then he gave them instructions. And it says that he sent them out to verse 2, 9-2, he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, here's the big point that we miss, that this is critical to understand this miracle of the feeding of this multitude. It says, take nothing. Everybody say nothing.
Nothing.
So if I say take nothing, what should you take? Oh wow, you're A students here today. Okay. Take nothing for your journey. And he goes on, no staff, no bag, no bread, nor money. Now, some people, if you are a critical thinker, you may have read another account where it says you can take your walking stick. This staff and walking, why is this contrary in the two Gospels? Most Bible commentators believe that because what they're referring to here is this staff was a place that you could keep some finance. You could keep like a change purse, if you will. That was part of their walking stick. So, you know, there's a little bit of contradiction there, and it's kind of hard to remedy the two with the other counts. But Jesus is saying, I don't want you to take any food. I don't want you to take any ability. In fact, he says, not even two tunics. I almost said two eunuchs. No, two tunics. That'd be kind of awkward. No, only one eunuch can come. Two. George Darmstadt would get a big laugh at that one. But all right. So he said, or two tunics. So he's sending them out with absolutely no provisions. And now, if we look at Luke 10, they returned after going out and been given authority and power. And they were successful. They had preached the gospel. They had seen God do amazing works. None of them were starving. They had had divine provision because they've gone into households and found a welcoming environment. Why was that? Because God sent them with power and with authority. That's why we have the response. We're going to see this playing out in a little while here. It's an important thing for us. You see, what God was doing in their life in this journey when God sent them out, they didn't even realize that God was preparing them for what was to come. So brothers and sisters, in your life here today, if you've been through a ridiculously hard season, if you've been through a hard time in your life and you're saying, I'm just glad that was done, I got news for you. It's not done. God was preparing you for what's coming next. And the experience that God wants to lay up and store up inside of you from what you have been through is the foundation of faith that He's not going to leave you. He will sustain you. He will provide for you. Amen? Because He's given you power and authority. Let's go on to the next verse. So these disciples, okay, they're doing this and they're telling Him, Jesus, we're in this rough place. There is a desolate place. Why is it that we always focus on our lack? You know what? It's human nature when we see a need to say, wow, that's a big need. I don't know if I can respond to that. I don't, what do I have? How can I possibly do it? Not just talking about our financial needs here, guys. How many of us, you know, you have an opportunity to, someone needs Christ, you think, well, I don't want to say something to them. What if I get in a spiritual conversation and they ask me a question that I don't know the answer to? What will I do? What if they stump me? They say, did Adam really have a belly button? And I don't know how to respond to that. Think about it. The really hard ones. I don't want to mess up their salvation. So we look at our lack. We say that we just have a little and God can't use my little. And I'm saying, oh, this miracle that we're about to see, says, yeah, He can. So next time you're talking yourself out of seeing God, of God using you, you need to remember this. Because the disciples said, look, we are here. We're in this desolate place. Luke chapter 9, 13 through 14. Look at His response. Now put yourself in their position. But Jesus said to them, okay, but He said to them, you give them something. Everybody say you. That's the hard point. I'm sure that the disciples were like, what? But Jesus, look, you got all these people here and they're really hungry. Okay, well, you know, we need to send them away. And Jesus says, you give them something. And say, what? you want us? And they said, look, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. I mean, let's put it in our terms. Because we find out in Mark, a little boy was walking by with a sack lunch, basically. This was his lunch. It'd be like someone walking by with a McDonald's that had 2 filet-o-fish sandwiches and an extra roll. That's what we're talking about. Two pieces of fish. I think it's fish. And then five pieces of bread. Fish product. It says, you give them something to eat. What do we have? We don't have anything. And they said, for there were about 5,000, and the next word there is men. Here's why they say 5,000 men. Because in actuality, how they counted crowds, they didn't count the number of people, they counted the number of men, which represented families. Most theologians believe that, or if you read commentaries, we're talking about a crowd probably upwards of 15 to 25,000 people. Most theologians believe this is the largest crowd that Jesus ever ministered to. So we have a crowd of people, all of these people, you know, anywhere from 5,000 to 25,000, realistically, five loaves, two fishes, 12 disciples, and Jesus says, hey, you feed them. Any ever feel overwhelmed? You know, a couple years after I was here, we had a great, this big attendance boom, and we had our Thanksgiving dinner, which is coming up. By the way, please sign up. We'd love to have everyone to come to our Thanksgiving dinner, but we want to not have to pray the loaves and the fishes, so we can prepare enough, so we'd invite you to pray. But this year, we prepared, I think, for about 100, 125, and 200 people showed up. In fact, I think it was closer to 225. And we were all freaking out in the kitchen. And Helen came and grabbed a hold of me and said, and you were there, Yvonne. You remember that? Oh, yeah. By the way, it is so good to see Dick and Yvonne. Isn't it great to see? It's good to have family back home here. That's great. And so we went to the back and we were all freaking out. How do we stretch? You know, let's give small portions. Give this. And so we prayed. And I remember getting up there and saying, Lord, you did it with the loaves and the fishes. Please do it here with this gospel bird, turkey, whatever we could do here. So they did. And you know what? Everybody ate and was satisfied. So it was kind of a neat little thing there. Here's the point. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And this is what this miracle is really all about, is Jesus wants to use you. Before you check out on that, there's still a multitude of people. Again, 5,000 to 25,000, overwhelming. And so when you're looking at needs in your life, you're looking at people, and these don't have to be physical needs. This isn't just about hunger. Maybe there's someone in your life, and you think, wow, they're just a busy street, and they got too many, and I just don't have all the time that they need. But if you have a little, God can multiply your little. What God doesn't want from us is excuses. You see, and then there's some powerful things that we're going to see happening here, because in verse 14 through 16, it says, and he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. And they did so and had them all sit down. Now, who had them sit down? It wasn't Jesus. Jesus didn't have them sit down. Who did? The disciples. Jesus gave instructions to the disciples. Now, has anybody here ever worked with people? Look, a few minutes ago, I said take 90 seconds, and there's probably 90 people here today. So if we say about 90 people here today, and I said in 90 seconds, we're going to sit down, and then it wasn't until about 2.5 minutes that we all sat down. People are like herding cats, and I have a microphone. Working with people is a difficult thing. And so think about this. 12 guys who are struggling as it is, who all of a sudden get organized in groups of about 5 to 25,000 people. How in the world did this happen? Dunamis and exousia. God gave them, oh, you know that was good. God gave them authority. God gave them divine power. The miracle isn't just the loaves and fishes. The miracle is everything that He's doing in their life. I tell you what, we miss it. We are so looking at the natural, not understanding that God is the X factor in your life. God is the thing that causes your little to become more. God is the one who you can look at a crazy, insurmountable situation, and when God is on our side, it's going to be okay, brothers and sisters. Amen. I heard a little amen there. That was funny. Jesus did a powerful thing, so, okay? Jesus didn't do this alone. He had the disciples do it. And I know a lot of your Bibles say this. Jesus fed the 5,000. Okay, I understand. Yes, but Also, no, the disciples fed the 5,000. Look what we read here. And I'm going to sit back at our table here because I'm walking around where we should be eating. He said, and taking the five loaves, verse 16, taking the five loaves. How did he take them? Because they gave them. What I found is a lot of us, you know, I could just see the apostle Peter sitting here saying, hey, well, we got five loaves and two fish. Well, I better eat a couple bites here. And then, no. He didn't eat for himself first. God asked for it and he gave it to Jesus. There's something about when we give, and I know that's the word no one likes to hear in church is give, but the bottom line, I want you to be blessed. And when we hold on to that which God asks, there's no blessing. And I'm not just talking about your money, because someone's like, oh, here comes a preacher, going to ask for money again. No. We're talking about your time, your talent, your resource, all of those things. They're God's anyway. You know, my personal understanding on tithing, I understand there are some people, oh, it's an Old Testament thing. I believe this, the tithe is the Lord's. And so when we tithe, we're not giving to God, we're giving back to Him what's already His. By the way, everything is His anyway. That's my particular understanding. And so I believe that there's a blessing when we give in obedience. And my wife and I have seen this over and over in our lives. Early on, as we got started, there were times we looked, how in the world are we possibly gonna meet these needs, whether it be time or finances or emotional? And it's always in those times of press that it seems like the Lord would come and say, we want you to be generous. And we're like, generous? We need to take care of ourselves. And I got to tell you, just as a testimony, the times that God has moved on our hearts to be obedient and to give, all I can say is He has been faithful. And I'm seeing this here. Jesus, in taking the loaves and the fishes, He looked up to heaven. This is the Hebrew way. And He asked a blessing over them. So that which you give to God in obedience, God blesses. And then He broke the loaves and He gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. So the miracle didn't, you know, some people say, oh, that Jesus, as He broke the bread, all of a sudden it became enough to feed 25,000 people. No, it didn't. He broke it and He gave it in the disciples. The miracle was the disciples were, it, in the disciples' hand is where it began to expand and it didn't wear out. Okay? And they all, everybody say all. They all ate till they were satisfied. Now my wife and I have been hosting a couple of these cross-country dinners. We got 10 teenagers. They eat a lot of pasta. More than what's necessary here as far as these loaves and fishes. I think we cook way more for 10 people. And it's amazing to see how this huge crowd ate here. And they had 12 baskets. I heard a preacher say once it's because Jesus was wanting every one of the disciples to have their own doggy bag. They could just take home. Yeah. All right? So my question for us as we wrap up the message today and try to find a way to apply it to our lives is what is the little that God is asking for in our lives? Okay, what instructions is He giving us to connect with the hungry? And when I'm saying hungry, I'm not just talking about the physical hungry or hunger for food. I'm talking about hunger for fellowship, hunger for healing, hunger for relationship. The hunger that a lot of people have. And in about 40 minutes, we're going to have a funeral service for a hungry individual that God has blessed us with in our congregation, George Darmstetter. And those of you who knew George, George was a character. You know what? George had a lot of needs. And I'm not saying anything out of order because we love George. And those people who served George and who took him back and forth to the manor and tried to get him to church and who'd go and visit with him and talk to him and listen to how, you know, he couldn't stand the president and he liked Fox News and all this fun stuff and you get all this. That's just about George. Those people who spent time with him, here's the deal. When I've talked to them these past few weeks and said, thank you for giving to one of God's children, here's what they all have said. I got more than I gave. You know what? This is what this miracle says to me. There's a multitude of people in Pike County, in Pittsfield, sometimes even in our church, that have needs. And sometimes we view their needs. We just say, we just have a little. I don't have enough time to get involved with that. I don't have enough resources to get involved with that. I don't have enough. You fill in the blank. Whatever it is, what they have, I just don't have enough of that. So I'm not going to do anything. And we're missing out on the fact that God has given us power and authority. And that when we give according to what He asks for, He can bless it and He can multiply it. And so God wants to use you. He's been preparing you your whole life. Every season that you look and say, how do we get through? That is the foundation of faith that God wants to use. What instructions is He giving you to connect with hunger? What brokenness is God bringing to you? Brothers and sisters, here's the good one. What miracles does He want to use you to perform? Well, God can't use me to do a miracle. He used 12 men who were doubting the whole time. And yet He used them. He can use us. And they ended up with more than they began. So to kind of wrap this up, don't be afraid to entrust God with whatever you label your little. Whatever that little amount is, whatever that thing, whether it be your talents, or whether it be just a listening ear, whether it be a compassionate smile, whether it be a time to befriend somebody, or sit and listen, or spend time with somebody who's in the midst of grief. If God prompts you to give it, He will bless it, He will break it, and I'm telling you, He will multiply it. That goes for your time, that goes for your care and compassion, and that goes for your service. And we've got some amazing examples inside this church, some great people who give and give and give and give compassionately. Not embarrassing them, but I tell you what, I have watched the barbers step up to family after family in this community time, and I'm not puffing you guys up, and certainly people think it's inappropriate, I don't understand. But looking back to George Balsman, looking back to other people, well done. Well done. And I'm going to ask you a question. Have you gotten more back? Yeah. That's good stuff, guys. That's good stuff. Forgive me for embarrassing you. That's what it's about. Who's supposed to be at this table? Who's supposed to be at this table with you? Remember, you're always being prepared. Now, if you're like me and you miss it, here's some good news. And I know we're supposed to say in the Gospel of Luke, but if we look at Mark, the Gospel of Luke chapter 9 is parallel in this miracle with the Gospel of Mark chapter 6. So we see the feeding of the 5,000 there. But if you go just two chapters later in the Gospel of Mark, listen to what we read. In those days when, the next word there is, again, and again means, okay, this has happened again. A great crowd had gathered, and they had nothing to eat. He called His disciples to Him, and He said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, because they've been with Me now 3 days, and they have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away. Now, again, they had just gone through this. So what do you think the disciples' answer should be? We just did this two chapters ago. Obviously not two chapters ago. You know, just a little bit ago, we had this huge crowd, and I remember that you just took, you know, a couple fish and a couple loaves of bread and did this cool miracle. That's what I would think. And here's what the disciples, full of faith they are, those wonderful examples, they said, and His disciples answered Him, how can we feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? And what's missing in my translation is Jesus going, really? Guys! We just did this. I'm so glad that this is in Scripture. You know why? Because it gives me hope. Because I miss it. I tell you what, I miss it. But you know what? I guess the message today is I shouldn't miss it because He's given me dunamis and exousia. He's given me power. He's given me authority. And if I really got that, I'd begin to look at situations, and instead of, you know, the cliche, instead of telling the my God how big the mountain is, I'd start telling the mountain how big my God is. You know what? God got me through here. He got me through here, and He'll do it again. I don't know how, but He's going to. I don't need to know how. It's not my job to know how. It's my job to be obedient and sit back and say, look at God. Isn't that good? That's good stuff. So brothers and sisters, give what you have, even if it seems insignificant. God will bless it, He'll break it, and He will multiply it for others. So if you please stand to your feet, I want to ask you one final question here today. With whom should I share a meal? In light of what we've said these past couple weeks, with whom should I be breaking bread?
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.